Welcome to another episode of Stokes and Folks. We're here today joined with some of the founders of Utah Political Underground, and we're going to talk a little bit about the website Utah Political Underground and some of the features we have on it, and I think you'll find it to be a fascinating, and surely it's going to feel like 10 minutes, although it's a 20-minute podcast. So if it feels like 45, put it down in the comments. But we have today joining us Adam Kolowich. Hello, Adam.
Hey, Spencer. And if they don't find it fascinating?
I don't know. Okay. Let's just ignore that. Yeah. Ignore those people. And Marty Carpenter.
Hey, good to be here.
And so this was an idea that was born out of the sale of Utah Policy Daily, or whatever you call it, Utah Policy. And we decided that there needed to be a robust, independent website out there that would write an in-depth article every week. And we've had some great in-depth articles written. We have a lot of great features on it, but I'd like to start out by talking about our Anonymous Hacks project and the political power rankings. And Adam Kolowich has been kind of the spearhead of those two projects. So, and then we'll talk about some future stuff.
Yeah, I have been. Thanks, Spencer. So the idea behind Anonymous Hacks was to provide a lot of us political insiders here in Utah with a forum in which we could discuss topics of the day, topics of the week, under a cloak of anonymity, allowing us to kind of say what we want to say without feeling repercussions of having said what we said. So it's basically there's a story behind the story, and the Anonymous Hacks column provides that opportunity for the gossip to be shared, the gossip on Capitol Hill, the gossip where else
in Utah political circles,
in Utah political circles,
executive branch, counties, cities.
Yeah, we even discussed the federal delegation, how they are doing.
And how do you go about it? What's the, you've got a list of hacks that you send out to, how many are on that list?
We do. And the first round we started with 26. We added an additional 14. So now we have 40 hacks that we send out a series of questions, and then allow them, in addition to answering the question, to provide some commentary. That commentary is published on the website with the answers to the questions, and we've actually had some funny stories about it.
I've been impressed with how open people are willing to be, and of course it comes in anonymously. I don't know, as one of the founders of Utah Political Underground, I don't know who's on the list. I don't know who the stories are attached to or the comments are attached to. But one of the things I like is that you do a graph every time. So there's a graph that's done, and then so I'm just looking at one I pulled up here. Governor Cox's cabinet members were sworn in during a gold room ceremony this past week. Did Governor Cox succeed in appointing the most diverse cabinet in history? And that's the question that the graph is associated with. And yes, 53% of the political hacks said yes, the most diverse cabinet, and 47% said no. And then it goes on to talk a little bit. There's a commentary. Which cabinet members do you believe will have the greatest impact on his or her agency division? Which cabinet member will have the least impact? Which I thought, I love the graph because you can quickly go and check it out and see what people thought. And these are people who, I would say, I mean, these aren't like college students answering the question.
These are professionals. Some are government employees. Most of them are hacks, politicos, either involved in politics as a profession or an extreme hobby. The main question allows you to get a pulse of where it's at. The comments that are provided, those are where you really feel how people are sensing the topic, the idea, the person. And for example, that question is one of the comments was, I don't know that white women count as diversity hires anymore. So,
and that's a solid comment, and one that probably ought to be taken serious, but certainly the viewpoint of that anonymous hack. Tell us about, because, you know, we only do these in 20-minute increments, so we could spend the whole entire show on this particular topic, but let's move on to another regular article or piece that's done, which is the Utah Political Power Rankings.
Yeah, the power rankings are sent out as a survey.
And that's a much larger list, right?
It is. It's about 160. We, as editors, keep those that finish in the top 10 on to the next week's list and then added additional names. A total of 19 names with a 20th option as an other, so people can include names that we haven't yet included. And, you know, it's been heavily weighted towards the legislative branch, and I think that's a factor. The factor is that we just finished our legislative session, so that was top of the mind of everyone's thoughts.
Do you envision this going on past the legislative session? Will it be weekly, or will it go to once a month outside the legislative session?
I think this will go biweekly. In the off week, we'll have the hacks column.
Got it. Something for people to look forward to. So this publication's been going on for about 7 weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is that there's 9 weeks. I'm corrected by Marty Carpenter, or is your mother probably did? Is it really Martin?
It is Martin.
And actually, what's your middle name?
Glade.
So Martin G. Carpenter.
Martin G.
I was corrected by Martin G. Carpenter, who says it's been going on for 9 weeks. But one of the ideas is to do some things that people are interested in. We have a whole culture section, which we're going to get into at some later date with Anonymous or with Utah Political Underground. But in the culture section, we review a movie, a book, a restaurant, a food truck. Did I say music already?
No, music.
Music. So yeah.
TV shows.
TV shows. Yeah. And the thing is, everybody who is contributing, we have a really great list of people contributing. Kate Klunt, Neil Abercrombie, Jennifer Summers, Greg Sutherland. Justin Allen, Jason Bishop. Everybody who's contributing has some tie to politics. So it's really living in this world of politics. But Marty, you've been doing On Message as well during the 9 weeks we've been doing Political Underground. Tell us a little bit about On Message, and then let's move over to articles.
Yeah, so On Message, I think, is just my attempt to have a chance to pontificate on how the communication is structured in a political argument. And whatever the big topic is, a lot of whether you win or lose in politics or in public policy is based on how well you're communicating your message. So from my perspective, it's a way to look at it and say, here's what everyone's talking about. Here's what side A is talking about, side B, if there is a side C, and who's effective, who's not effective, maybe what suggestions I would have. I get to play a little bit of Monday morning quarterback in some cases. And some of them look at state-level stuff. A lot of it has been state-level stuff to this point. That'll probably morph a little bit. Some of it has been national because we've had things happening, the presidential inauguration and the first 100 days and so on for the Biden administration. But yeah, I've just tried to look at it and say, here's what's effective in their messaging. Here's where I think they could do better, and take it for what it's worth.
And quite frankly, I think a lot of elected officials could learn a lot if they would watch that weekly, because you really are providing a doctoral level course in communications, and some of our elected officials are not practicing communications at a doctoral level, more maybe some eighth grade level. But
I like that in within 10 minutes now, I've gone from Marty to Martin to Martin G to now Doc Martin, I guess, could be the case. So like, I just stick around for 10 more minutes. Who knows what I could be?
I think you've actually hit your high point.
Yeah,
so it's probably going to go downhill from there. One of the things that one of the functions that Marty has also been playing in our first 9 weeks of Utah Political Underground is, I don't know, editor finding finding the folks that are going to write for us, and tell us a little about some of our writers and the concept behind who we're asking to write and kind of the content length of the stories.
You mentioned that we have tried to include one, or what we've built this around is essentially one long form journalistic piece. And that required us to go get some good writers. And I think we've had some hits and misses, sure, but we generally have a really good group of writers who've worked with us so far. We've got Samuel Benson, who also does some work with the Deseret News, who's written a couple of pieces for us. Kathy McKittrick, who has worked for the Salt Lake Tribune and the Standard Examiner. Pamela Manson, who's also written for some of the big papers in the state. And, you know, we'll add more, I think, as we go. There's just sort of this appetite, I think, sometimes for something to be explained more in depth. And sort of where I came from this from an idea standpoint was a lot of times it's easy to focus on the politics, and having been, you know, a communication director for a governor and saying, boy, sometimes the press just seems to get fixated on the game of how this is either going to pass or not pass and what the vote totals are and so on, and not so much like what's the underlying policy. So what we've tried to do at least is use that long form piece, our cover story, so to speak, to look a little more in depth at what exactly is behind the policy and maybe explain that a little bit more. And, you know, that kind of tees up one of the things I hope that we'll be able to do as we now get out of what's been the busiest part of the year for all three of us and now into not so much of a busy part is
what are you talking about?
Always busy.
Busy all the time.
Okay. You're still super busy. You're just not extreme super busy. This idea that I think that this should be a platform for elected officials to sort of explain their side without having to go through so much of a filter, sort of a player's tribune, so to speak, where, you know, someone can say, hey, I pushed this policy during the legislative session. Now let me find a way to explain it to you more in depth.
Has anyone reached out to you, Marty?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
I mean, yes. Oh, my God. Tons. We're sorting through them right now.
Well, but I think
it's sort of the next phase. It's nothing we've really pushed to this point, but I think it's sort of a next phase for us to look and see where we can add that as an element to the overall publication.
I did have lunch with one of the hacks, and they unsolicited talked about Sam Benson's article mm-hmm. about Mike Lee in Georgia with President Trump, and said we should, it was so good we should sell it. Mm-hmm. Sell the article.
They said it's a national. It was a national type story. They enjoyed it very much. I did as well. And you know, mm-hmm. here's a person that's worked for Senator Lee, and you know, there were things in the article that I didn't know that went on, and I thought they were great insights into what happened post post. November
the election certification
and then on to January 6th. So I thought it was fascinating.
We've had great writers all around. Sam in particular, since you brought him up by name, has done a tremendous job. He wrote our first cover piece ever on the Dixie State University name change. Just a tremendous piece. I mean, it's like we say at this point, it's 9 weeks old. I think it's still worth going back and reading if you haven't checked that out.
No question.
And then I think you're right. That may be as a little feather in our cap that we're not just some fly-by-night operation. We flew Sam back to D.C. He sat down in Senator Lee's office and then did a whole bunch of other reporting in D.C., more of which we'll continue to see in our publication in the weeks ahead.
We've had some great opinion pieces written. We had a great piece written by Chris Cox, who's the former head of the governor's office of management and budget.
Yeah, because they just changed the name back to what it was
to
before.
Planning and budget.
Right. So you're right. But we have to stop and think about which one she was in charge
exactly.
of.
Exactly. And it was a great on getting vaccines in mm-hmm. the arms of people.
Yeah.
We've had a couple of great opinion pieces by me,
yeah.
Spencer Stokes, of course, very, very riveting. And we also had another opinion piece submitted by Congressman Curtis just mm-hmm. over civility. And I mm-hmm. thought it was a great opinion piece as well. Oh. We also have a couple of other, we have some, give me another one of the stories though, one of the feature stories that we've done that you felt like was interesting. And I really liked Kathy McKittrick's messaging piece,
yeah.
talking about the message bills that were done this year's Utah legislature. And I would say that based on this piece, I was just on this past weekend with Doug Wright and his community show that he does every Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. And one of the topics was message bills. And I can't help but think that Doug didn't see it or hear about it through Utah political underground. So, but what about, what's another feature story that you have enjoyed?
Yeah, well, I would maybe put a plug in for Kathy McKittrick's Look at Veto Power that's up on the website this week. That's our cover story, taking a look at, you know, new governor with some more seasoned legislative leaders. And the governor walks in for his State of the State address and says, I'm going to veto more of your bills than my predecessors. And by, you know, sign of die, he was saying, well, maybe not. You know, maybe we've got them aligned the right way. But it'll be interesting to see what, if any, vetoes come from the governor's office, and you know what we learn about the way Governor Cox is going to deal with the legislature over at least the next 3 years, based on you know what kind of things he vetoes this time around. Yeah, this, we mentioned Sam Benson. One of the other stories he reported for us was this one we entitled "Federal Fab Four," looking at the women who are chiefs of staff for members of our federal delegation back in D.C. And you know, I thought that the message bills one was good. The other one, I guess, I would put a plug in for Pamela Manson wrote run about the what we called photo fight, and this is over the bill that was advanced during the legislative session over whether or not mugshots could be made public just on arrest, or if they should be held until there's actually some type of conviction. You know, that balance between the court of public opinion and the actual court system.
Well, and of course, there's always got to be some humor, and we have a couple of humorists that are writing for us as well. Jordan Garn has written a great piece. He calls it the Utunion, I think is how it's supposed to be pronounced. Like,
it's the beautiful
Utah
thing about the written word. We don't have to know how to pronounce it.
Exactly.
It just looks like Utah.
Yeah.
Onion, right?
So Utah Onion. And then we have a great writer down in St. George, Chris Millard, who has done a fun job on talking about being retired and trying to get a vaccination, a shot called the Hunger Games in St. George, which was awesome. And then we have another little feature that I think is fun. It's called On the Road with J. Michael Redd. And what we're kind of shooting for there is somebody go out to the public meetings and places that don't get reported on often, school board meetings across the state, a Garfield County Commission meeting, a Blanding City Council meeting, a Special Service District meeting. These are all things that the press doesn't really have the time to report on, and Michael Redd has been willing to go out and ferret through some of this. I think some of the things to look forward to, you know, we've posted a lot of great links to Utah podcasts on the site. We have a lot of Utah podcasts out there that I think you can go and pick up on. We mentioned we have a segment called Socially Awkward, some of the highlights of some of the best tweets or Facebook posts by elected officials. That will continue on, and it should continue to grow because I think people will start submitting posts and tweets to us to take a look at. But one of the things we're working on right now is an analysis of the Utah legislature and how many minutes people speak. So of the 104 legislators, if you minus out the president and the speaker, who obviously do a lot of speaking because they're conducting the meeting, but how many minutes elected officials speak, that analysis is going to take a little while because literally you have to go and listen to the entire thing with a stopwatch. So we're hoping that will be of interest to some of our listeners and readers. Secondly, I think it's going to be fun really to see the video highlights of the top 10 video highlights of this year's legislative session. But because of Zoom and all of the online time, we were able to capture some of the interesting moments. I don't think anyone will be surprised once they see it, what we believe is the number one moment of the Utah legislature. And we'll leave that as a teaser out there. But hey, in wrapping up and closing, because we try to do this in consumable 20-minute blocks, Adam, things looking forward to going forward with Utah Political Underground?
More gossip, and more power rankings. just keep the people coming. Vote for your top candidates, and you'll see him at the top of the rankings.
And Marty, how about you?
Yeah, I think we'll, like any publication that just started, you know, nine, almost 10 weeks ago now, we're going to hit our stride here at some point. A lot of that has been, let's figure things out. And it's amazing how many hurdles we've had pop up along the way and been able to kind of work our way through. I would say this, you mentioned J. Michael Redd going to these little towns and little city council meetings and so on. I think that's great. I think where we're going to see that evolve once the world opens up a little bit more is turn that into a vlog. And, you know, I don't think we've seen the full capacity of what we're going to get from on the road. But I think if we can actually show people, here's this town, here's where we stopped to get a burger, here's where I stopped to get gas, now I'm in this meeting, here's what happened, it just will bring a little bit more flavor to it.
I think it's amazing. We clearly are going to have a few more things that we'll unveil, but the idea here is, hey, sign up. Go to Utah Political Underground or UTPOL Underground and sign up to get the weekly email. Just to remind you to go check it out. And thanks for listening. This has been another episode of Stokes and Folks. And thanks to my two guests, Adam Kulowich, Marty Carpenter, and our great producer, Connor Sorensen.